The Secrets of Doctor Who is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to The Secrets of Doctor Who, where we discuss everything about the hit BBC series, Doctor Who. And today we're discussing the Big Finish audio story, Out of Time. I'm Don Bettinelli, and joining me today on the panel is Father Corey Stika. Hey, Father.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Oh, wait, wrong, out of time. How's it going, Don?
Out of time.
Yeah.
Morty, it's your kids. Folks, be sure to get your very own Secrets of Doctor Who t-shirt or phone case or more merch by visiting sqpn.com/merch. We have lots of great stuff there from a lot of our shows. And it's some great t-shirts, and you can help tell people about the show. I get comments about my shirts all the time. People are like, oh, that's a really cool shirt. I'm like, you should check out our podcast.
Exactly. So,
That always helps. And I want to tell you all about another show on the StarQuest Network you're sure to enjoy called The Secrets of Star Wars. There's so much going on in Star Wars. You definitely want to check that out. There's new shows, new movies, all that sort of stuff. So check out The Secrets of Star Wars wherever fine podcasts are found or at sqpn.com/Star Wars. And finally, we do have some listener feedback that we want to share with you at the end of the show. So be sure to stick around for that. So, Jimmy is not able to be with us today, but he did give me one of his recaps for today's episode. So I appreciate that, Jimmy. And let's hear that now. This week, the 10th Doctor shows up in the Cathedral of Contemplation, a monastery that exists outside of space and time that welcomes pilgrims seeking a period of reflection. The abbess shows 10 to a temporary waiting room, but he doesn't want to stay there and uses his sonic to break through a time barrier that's designed to keep visitors from different time periods separate from each other. And he finds the 4th Doctor doing a painting. The 4th Doctor is with a woman from the 26th century named Jorah, who has deserted her unit in the Second Dalek War. Soon her father, Captain Zenna, arrives to take her back to that war. And on his heels, the Daleks also come through the dimensional door. And the first thing they do is kill the abbess, which is a mistake because she's linked to the cathedral and it starts to fall apart without her. It will collapse into a singularity within an hour. The doctors split up to deal with the situation. 10 takes Jorah and begins evacuating the pilgrims, while 4 and Captain Zenna attend to other matters. But it turns out that Captain Zenna isn't real. He's a Dalek body print from the actual Captain Zenner who has been exterminated. And the body print betrays the 4th Doctor, who becomes a prisoner of the Daleks. They take 4 to the cathedral's control room and hook him into the controls in place of the abbess. However, he doesn't have the right brainwaves to work the machinery by himself. Fortunately, 10 shows up and voluntarily plugs himself in. Together, the doctors are able to open one of the cathedral's dimensional doorways to a beach on a distant world. In peacetime, this allows the pilgrims to escape. After this test of the system, the Daleks order the doctors to adjust the dimensional doorway so that it leads to Earth Central Command in the 26th century. That way, they can go through and massacre Earth's military leaders and win the war. But when all of the Daleks except the leader go through, they're all destroyed because while the doorway was set to Earth, 10 ensured it was set to the end of the world when the sun expanded and consumed the Earth. The doctors and Jorah must then flee the Dalek Supreme as the station is collapsing. Ultimately, all 3 get to that beach, and the doctors are able to seal the Dalek Supreme in the station as it collapses. The end. All right. Father Corey, your overall impression of this story?
Well, this was a lot of fun. I mean, first of all, there is, you could tell from that summary, there's a lot going on in this. You know, for 1 hour, it's just under an hour, the actual episode, and it's full. I mean, it's packed with stuff going on. Of course, you've got, you know, 10 with his zaniness matched with 4 and his zaniness, very different kinds of zaniness. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're both full of each other because both doctors are full of each other, again, very different ways. And it's a lot of fun. It really is a blast. Of course, you know, getting to hear Tom Baker's voice, you can tell he's obviously not the young man he was in the 70s when he played the role, but it's still very clearly him, and he's still very clearly playing the same role. So it's a lot of fun.
And I should point out, it is David Tennant and Tom Baker. There's not other actors doing their voices. And it's part of a series, this one. There are three episodes in this Out of Time series, Out of Time, The Gates of Hell, and Wink, that feature David Tennant as the 10th Doctor with three classic Doctors. The fourth Doctor in this one. And then The Gates of Hell has the 10th Doctor and the fifth Doctor, who is David Tennant's
brother-in-law or father-in-law. Excuse me.
It's a very confusing wibbly wobbly thing. They're going up against the Cybermen. And then Wink is him with the sixth Doctor going up against the Weeping Angels, which looks like a lot of fun. We should do at least one of those. We should do at least Wink in the future at some point.
Yeah.
But So I agree with you. I enjoyed this. It was fun. I love hearing the fourth Doctor and the 10th Doctor together. The dialogue was so very much them. It was well written, so it felt like those characters. So it was fun. I thought it was an interesting premise. This Cathedral of Contemplation was new. I don't think we've ever heard of it before. And it had it sounded like almost like a retreat center, you know, for time travelers. Just go there and take an Ignatian silent retreat for a week to get away from it all.
And maybe that I was thinking, it's like, hey, I wouldn't mind going there. I could go spend some time. You know, there's lots of books there to read, you know, read some of the greatest hits from the past, present, and future. And, you know,
right. And then, you know, maybe you'll run into people like Michelangelo, which apparently the fourth Doctor brought with him at one point to visit the cathedral. Or others like that. That's kind of cool. And it exists outside of time. And the abbess says the Doctor normally shows up when he's in trouble. So he normally shows up there when he's running from something. And go ahead.
You know, this is basically set in Ten's timeline during the specials at the end of his time.
Yeah.
So this is coming into when with the Master and his regeneration. This is right before that, pretty much.
Right. He's running from his fate, which he knows is coming, if you remember that. And this is around that time when he's companionless, and he shows up with the fake 19th century Doctor, the guy with the balloon, and the Lara Croft Tomb Raider one, Lady Christine, I think it was.
Waters of Mars.
Yeah, Waters of Mars. All those where he's the Time Lord victorious and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So this is all within that. We don't know exactly which one it is among, probably before the Time Lord victorious, Waters of Mars one. But it's in that area. So it's good, which is interesting. I'm going to guess that all three of these in this series are from that era.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if these are 1, 2, 3 right in a row.
Yeah.
In his timeline. When the fourth Doctor is companionless as well, this is after he dropped off Sarah Jane.
Yep.
And went to Gallifrey, the deadly assassin. This is right after that story.
Right. He hasn't yet picked up her name? Layla. Right. That places it in that time frame as well. Yeah, it's I'd be curious if they're going to do some 14th Doctor big finish. I mean, why not? You've got Tennant, you know, and you've got him now back as the 14th Doctor living
on Earth
in the London area. Why not? It'd be really cool.
That kind of would be kind of interesting. Yeah, they could do especially if they want to do more with UNIT. They could do him with UNIT.
Yep. And Donna and, you know,
yep.
You know, and her, you know, that would be kind of cool.
That was good. I like the line at the end with speaking, you know, with the companions about how, you know, to give the fourth Doctor a hint of what's coming forward, that he's going to meet a nice time lady and settle down with the dog.
Yes, a hint at Romana and K-9. Yeah. So within this one, the 10th Doctor, I'm going to just call him 10 and 4, just for he's thinking of these. 10's looking 10-4. For ideas where to travel next. 10-4, that's right.
Yeah.
But the abbess thinks he's using the cathedral for personal party planning, as she puts it. but he's really there, as we said, because he feels like he's being called to something, to his regeneration. he doesn't want to do, you know, so that's that's really what he's there for. But yeah, well, I like that we're not here for your personal party planning.
Well, and they say that there's some kind of observatory where you can see basically all of space and time. So
that sounds really cool.
That sounds really cool.
And four is there because he's doing some restoration work on the frescoes. As he says, he's doing some painting. And that's where we get the reference that he brought Michelangelo with him in a previous visit. And it's funny that 10, like, he's ushered into this area and he's told to stay there, but decides to just, you know, go wild and break through into this other area, the panoramic gallery, that place where you can see all the space and time, which is where the fourth doctor is. And it's interesting because he recognizes four, but of course four doesn't recognize him. And he's trying to avoid polluting his timeline. Says his name is John. He's about to say Smith, but then he realizes, I've used that before with him. and then he says Tyler instead.
Yep.
Which is a Rose Tyler reference.
Yeah, it was. I thought that the fourth and tenth doctors were in separate waiting rooms. Neither of them were in that panoramic gallery.
Oh, okay.
But they were like in different timelines of this waiting room.
I see. Although wasn't the fourth doctor working on the paintings while he was? That's what got me. So I thought those were in the galleries. Sometimes with these audio stories, it's hard for me to keep track of exactly where people are and that sort of thing. Oh,
should mention, speaking of the audio stories, there was that Josh Stiles, he's a Doctor Who fan who does a lot of videos. He did an animation of this.
Oh, we should put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure to do that because it's an animation, but it's only the video for the animation. And by the way, not even like the opening credits, because the BBC struck that on YouTube, which is, of course, the BBC being the BBC. There's not even the audio. You have to sync it with the Big Finish audio.
Right.
So you have to buy the Big Finish audio and download it, and then you can sync it. And he's got the little, you know, start after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit play. And it works pretty well. Now, I did notice on VLC, it puts like about a second gap between the files, so you have to pause the video for a second every time it goes to another audio. But I mean, that's just a minor, that's definitely a first world problem, that's for sure. Because it works, he did a really great job with the animation kind of filling, so you can see everything, you know, you're watching an animated adventure instead of just audio, hearing an audio. So that's worth doing if you want to check this out.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I gotta make sure I put that in the show notes so others can do that. I usually listen on the Big Finish app, so I don't think there is that gap in there. So you might
probably not
better there. I do download as well because, I like to use a, Mac Whisper, it's a AI transcription to get a script to follow along. Cause I find that helps me follow along a little better. This is me. I don't know. I mean, other people probably don't have that problem. And plus I'm trying to make notes, and having a script to look at helps.
Yeah, and that's where being able to watch it on the actual see what's going on helps so much. And that, you know, because that's been a point I've had with Big Finish, is not because of Big Finish itself, but just the genre of an audio drama sometimes can be very hard to understand what's going on.
Right. And I always listen at fast speed, but the accents sometimes elude me. But I just can't stand listening at 1X. I've trained myself apart from it. So back to the story. So one of the main characters we encounter is this young woman named Jora, the soldier who's gone AWOL. And because she's afraid of dying, I mean, which is hard to blame her.
She doesn't want to fight. She doesn't want to die because she knows that's what's going to happen. They're fighting the Daleks. They're in the second Dalek War in the 26th century.
Yep.
And she just knows it's what's going to happen.
It's an interesting conundrum because, you know, you're a veteran and you've served and you understand the need for people to be willing to go and serve.
Yep.
And yet there is that understanding, you know, as a human being, how scary that is. I've read a lot of military history because I'm a American man over the age of 35, and that's required. And so I've been reading a lot of American history, and just the stories like a World War II where these soldiers just, you know, march into the meat grinder, you know what I mean? And it's just like they know they're going probably going to die, and yet they get up and they rush forward. And it's like, I don't, you know, just at a natural human level, I don't understand that bravery, you know, and yet they did it. And so it's hard to blame her for being afraid.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and that's why desertion is such a serious issue to the military. Why? I mean, why it's a serious crime, because it is such a natural reaction to go, okay, it's fun to go through the training and play with the guns and do all that kind of stuff and the marching and all that. Okay, that's fine. Wait, we're actually doing it where our lives are on the line now, and those bullets right. aren't just going away from us, they're coming at us as well.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right. And if you don't, if as a military, if you don't have severe consequences for desertion,
yep.
you're going to have, people are going to run. Mm-hmm. Because that's human nature. We want to run away from the battle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's why courage and bravery and all those sorts of things are virtues, because you are fighting against nature to do that.
Exactly.
Also interesting, like, you know, she's the daughter of an officer, this captain mm-hmm. who shows up, who he's kind of blustery. And I wonder, is it the Daleks, have the Daleks made him blustery since he's not actually her father?
Right.
Or was he really like that? And they've been really accurate in their portrayal of him.
I get the feeling she doesn't respond like, this is not like you. You're not acting like you normally do.
Yeah.
You know, and so I get the feeling this is who he is, at least as far as being the captain of the company that she was in.
Right, right. We do also, by the way, get reference to the Draconians, the Ogrons. These are all people that we've seen the Fourth Doctor recently encounter in the episodes we've done recently.
Third and Fourth Doctor, both of them. Yep.
Yep. So I thought that was interesting. And so the Daleks managed to invade the cathedral. Did they? I wasn't sure about why they knew they could get in. You know what I mean? That was it because Jorah was there and her father was going to go get her, that they, that's why they, you know, took over, you know, replaced him and followed him in. They didn't really develop that, like the whole idea of why the Daleks now are, you know, have now decided to attack the Cathedral of Contemplation and that sort of thing. So that part was a little underdeveloped, I think.
Actually, you know, I thought it was because the Fourth Doctor was there, because the mission was to capture his Captain Zenna's body double mission was to capture the Doctor.
Was it? OK.
And it's just the fact that he followed Zora in is what led to that.
Okay. So they were going after the Fourth Doctor, because this is the Fourth Doctor's main operating time in the 26th century. This is when he's mm-hmm. running around in space and time around Earth. So okay, all right, that makes sense then. And they want him to use him to right. you know to control, you know, to win the war.
And of course, so, if the Tenth Doctor hadn't broken the time barrier, they would have failed, because we know that, or they basically say that it needed both of their power to right. run the machine. Whereas the religious sister, the abbess. Yeah, yeah. I blanked on her title, but abbess, she's the one who ran it because she was connected to it.
Right. Which they're of a race of people that could build such a thing and run. Mm-hmm. They were also time travelers and that sort of stuff. I thought it was fun how the 10th Doctor didn't remember any of this until it started happening. And then he started that whole thing where the memories of it pop into his head as he's doing the things.
Yep.
Which is kind of fun. It's one way of dealing with the paradox, you know, that
exactly.
We've seen that before.
And of course, and it's long established in Doctor Who that when the Doctor's outside of his timeline, when he gets put back in his timeline, he magically doesn't remember what happened.
Yeah, right. Which must be a Time Lord thing, but yeah.
Or a creative script writing thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There is a moment where the 10th Doctor and the Fourth Doctor talk about how the 10th Doctor doesn't want to regenerate now. He doesn't want to give up who he is. As now, this mm-hmm. was a key factor in the 10th Doctor's character. He doesn't want to give up everything he's become. And the Fourth Doctor points out that he doesn't mind the regeneration because whatever happens, he'll just keep being himself. And it's kind of interesting to see the difference in this one person who keeps changing right. in, you know, but in the intervening, I don't even know, like 1,000 years or whatever it's mm-hmm. supposed to be between them. And it's kind of fascinating to see the differences in these two doctors. And that's one of the things that really makes this character so interesting is the idea yeah. is it's the same person, but is different over time. And how would that work? And it's sort of a lot of like, well, how does God in three persons work? You have mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are yeah. one person, but three persons in one nature. And it's like, so how can they be different and the same? And that's kind of one of the reasons why I find Doctor Who as a whole fascinating, because we are kind of diving into this mysterious sort of character.
Yeah. And that's what makes these multiple Doctor stories so much fun, is you do get to see the different personalities of the Doctor. I mean, he's the one person you could talk about having multiple personalities in one person.
Yeah.
But it's at different times. It's not at the same time. But and I think that that was kind of an interesting conversation, because that was one of the complaints I know I've had, and I know many fans have had, was at the end of number 10's time, was how brooding and I don't want to go and all right. that. It's like, we don't need this.
Right.
That's the Doctor knows he's going to regenerate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows he's going to regenerate. I mean, and at the end of the Fourth Doctor, there's kind of a, you know, when he falls off, there's kind of that, you know, the time has been prepared and all this, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a little melodramatic, but not quite to the level of what happened with Tennant.
I suppose. And
that was kind of yeah. For me, at least, that spoiled the end of the Tennant's era
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I guess with that one, you could kind of say, oh, that's because he knew it would be his last regeneration, you know, because he was getting to the end of his 12 regenerations. You know what I mean? Yeah. As far as he knew then and all that, never mind whatever that right. happens after. But from his point of view, I don't know. Yeah. When I saw it, I hadn't seen Classic Who yet the first time I saw mm-hmm. that. So it didn't bother me. In fact, I felt like, wow, this is, you know, really powerful, because I'd only seen one regeneration before.
That's right.
And I could understand right. like, wow, I would hate to give up who I am and, or, you know, to change again. So it's kind of interesting to see it now in retrospect, having seen all these regenerations.
Yeah. And that is kind of a New Who thing, where they really milk the regeneration, you know, for the drama.
Although they seem to have with the 15th Doctor, which I think as this episode publishes, we haven't seen his new season yet. But we're recording this in advance, and we're going to have recording some for after as well. But I think there's a real change. I think Russell T. Davies is trying to make that change, like trying to go back to that more classic style
right.
Doctor, which I think would be nice.
Yeah. Well, they did they called it the bi-generation, where he basically split.
Yeah.
And that definitely took a lot of the drama out of it.
Yeah. Right. So, right. Because you could have the two doctors running around, and
yep.
there isn't that whole loss of your favorite doctor sort of thing, which is kind of funny, because the 13th Doctor kind of gets forgotten and all that, doesn't she?
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, she's,
yeah, well,
yeah, I mean, she wasn't my favorite. That's for sure.
Mine either. Yeah. If you want to know, you can go back and listen to our favorite doctors episode where we talk about, or yeah. ranking the doctors episode where we talk about that.
Gosh, we're going to have to revisit that at some point, I think, because now we've got a couple more to look at.
I still think you could take 10 and 14 and combine them.
Yeah, I think it's still the same doctor. I mean, the personality is all the same. So the Fourth Doctor actually at one point in this tells Captain Zenner that he's not a soldier. He's a pacifist, though it does usually involve blowing a lot of things up anyway, which I thought was funny because we've seen him blow a bunch of stuff up. So that was kind of fun.
And that is an interesting contrast because you've got the earlier doctors were not afraid of using weapons.
Yep.
They absolutely, the doctor would pick up a gun and use it if he needed to.
Yeah. Or to defend violence himself in general when it was necessary. Yeah.
And he would do it. It wouldn't be like, oh, let's send Yuna. I mean, he would send Yuna and stuff like that, but he would also, you know, engage like blowing things up and stuff like that. But he didn't fight any wars. But then you contrast that with Ten, who's post Time War. And he's like, he won't even like guns are the worst thing ever. And things like that, you know, but then he would let others go and do the violence instead.
It makes you wonder. In fact, we haven't really done any War Doctor Big Finish stories, but it makes you wonder what the War Doctor did. That would be interesting. Yep. At one point, once the Abbess has been killed, the Fourth Doctor, says in retort to the Daleks, "Dalek knowledge is supreme, supremely stupid."
Yeah,
because you killed the Abbess. That was funny. The 10th Doctor at one point tells Jorah to be brave. And this goes back to what we were saying before. And if you can't be brave, pretend to be brave. And that's one of the things is like, we'd say fake it till you make it these days. But there was always this thing is like bravery is, is sometimes just doing the thing and pretending. Like that's what bravery is doing the thing anyway, even when you're scared.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Being brave isn't being without fear.
Right.
It's fighting through the fear. It's moving past it. Again, we talked about, soldiers at war, every single one of them, at least their first battle, they're terrified out of their skin, but they get out there and they do what they're commanded to do, what they need to do.
If you're not afraid, you're that's a problem.
Yeah.
once you stop being afraid, you need to be pulled out and sent to rest and, get talked to because then you're a danger to yourself and to others. Fear is the way it keeps us in line, keeps us sharp. Yep. I did like that. The fact that we did when they linked the time corridor to the end of the world, which is right about the time that the Ninth Doctor and Rose were there, at the end of the world.
It was that exact time.
So, it was fun to use that and to catch the Daleks not paying attention.
Yep.
And it's interesting that the 10th Doctor feels he has the right to exterminate the Daleks now after all he's seen, while the 4th Doctor still thinks like he did in Genesis of the Daleks. Like, do we have a right to exterminate a race or a species? And the 10th Doctor's like, when it comes to the Daleks, so it's interesting to see that contrast still.
Well, especially since, again, talking about the use of violence by the Doctors, how he, number 10, lectures Xena about fighting and, I don't ever fight. And then as soon as the Daleks show up, it's like, destroy them all.
Right.
Exterminate,
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of hypocrisy in the Doctor, and they play that out oftentimes, and I'm glad that they do show that. They don't try to explain it away the Doctor is a little bit hypocritical when it comes to the idea of violence, because the Daleks are a special case for him, even above the Cybermen or the Weeping Angels. Or
I would say the Cybermen to some extent too. I mean, definitely the Daleks.
The Cybermen. Yeah, it's interesting how both of them, the Daleks and Cybermen, are both kind of half living, half machine hybrids. Kind of interesting. I mean, that goes all the way back to the 60s. I wonder if that was a thing in the 60s, like in sci-fi and in general.
The idea of cyborgs or, something like the Daleks, where they're mutants that control basically battle tanks, things like that, were kind of starting to be developed as thought in science fiction. I mean, when did the term cyborg, that was like the 40s and 50s is when the first stories were starting to come out about that idea of having mechanical and electronic equipment grafted to your body.
Which is interesting, probably because post-World War II, as we were talking about that, there would have been a lot of development of prosthetics and robotics was also becoming a thing. And so I'm sure people started thinking about well, could we enhance our bodies with robotic technology? And then we get the $6 million man in the 70s, and which exactly. is the height of that. You know, they're making a $6 million man movie.
No, really?
Yes, starring Mark Wahlberg.
No, that was, I'm assuming it's going to be inflation.
Yeah, it'll be six. It's against $6 billion. I think they made it $6 billion. But it's going to star Mark Wahlberg, which that'll be interesting.
Oh, cool.
That could be good. To that.
It'd be good. It'd be fun. I won't say it'll be good. It could be fun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll see. It could be good, but it'll at least be fun. So back to the story. At the end, after they've defeated the Daleks, Four advises Ten not to travel alone and to face the future with hope. He says, I'd say try and face the future with hope. Find more friends. Who can resist the magic door to anywhere and any when? We couldn't. I thought it was a really nice line, and it was really encapsulates the classic Doctor approach to what they do versus the new Who approach. And I think that was a nice way to kind of say, hey, remember in the classic era, it was a different feel. And I like that feel, and I hope that's what we're going to get with the new Russell T. Davies and the 15th Doctor.
That's more of the adventure again.
Right. And less of the angst and the worry and that sort of thing. I love the 12th Doctor, but he was pretty dour. I think they tried to do that with the 13th Doctor and just kept falling back into the old patterns.
I don't think they knew what they wanted to do with the 13th Doctor.
Yeah. I felt like Chibnall was kind of flailing. What are we going to do here? They tried to make her chipper and and all that sort of stuff, and it just didn't come across well.
Yeah.
But I think with the 15th Doctor, there's that possibility that we're going to recapture that classic feel, and that would be nice.
The fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And any final thoughts on this one, Father Corey?
So the voice of the Abbess, and then Marna, who was one of the soldiers who came in with Zenner, was played by Claire Rushbrook. And she was the science officer Ida Scott in The Impossible Planet and Satan Pit.
Oh, okay.
So we've seen her on TV.
Oh, that's why she looked familiar. I was looking up. I like to look up the actors and see what they look like. And that's why she looked familiar. Okay. All right. Interesting. Yep. Cool.
That's all I've got. So.
All right. So I did say we had some feedback, and it's interesting, this feedback. Both of these came in on our recent Fourth Doctor story, The Power of Kroll, and they're kind of two sides of a coin. First one said is from Flying Car 100. These were both on YouTube. I feel like Power of Kroll is the weakest of the Key to Time episodes. And then the other one comes from Michael Webster, who says, I agree with Jimmy. I rewatched the Key to Time season in 2023, and Kroll is a much better story than I remembered it. By no means a classic, but enjoyable enough. So yeah. I thought that was interesting. Two takes.
I agree with the first one. Then actually, it's kind of funny because they could both be true.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I do think it's the weakest, but at the same time, it isn't terrible. It isn't great. I seem to recall when we recorded that I was pretty down on it. But it's not like it's the worst of the classic Who by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not the Twin Dilemma.
Not the Twin Dilemma. It's not the Green Death. We haven't gotten to that one yet.
Oh boy!
And the Third Doctor. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because that's just environmental story wrapped in a Doctor Who tale.
Okay. So yeah.
I kind of agree with both. It's better than it seemed before, but it is definitely not the best of the Key to Time series by any stretch.
Right. I mean, how can you go wrong when you have the Fourth Doctor and Romana and the quips and the fun? I mean, at least you have the fun, quippy dialogue and the bits like that to kind of even out any of the negative aspects and the bad CG and, or not CG, visual graphics, that sort of thing. I agree with that. It's the weakest of the ones I've seen so far. So I haven't seen all the Key to Time series episodes.
And we're almost done. I think we've got two left.
Yeah, I think that's two more to go. And then we'd be done with that. So, it's kind of it's interesting. But thank you both for your feedback. We really appreciate getting that. And so now we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Secrets of Doctor Who, including Christopher H., Cole W., Brian S., Stephen M., and Leonard L., Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue The Secrets of Doctor Who and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And we'd also like to thank Zyman Yannick, who edited this episode. So that's it from us. What do you think of this Big Finish story called Out of Time? You can let us know by commenting on the show at sqpn.com or the Secrets of Doctor Who Facebook page. Send us an email to doctorwho@sqpn.com or visit the StarQuest Discord community at sqpn.com/discord. And you can watch us on The Secrets of Doctor Who in full video on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/StarQuest Media. We'll be back next time. I was right. This was before. Next time, we'll be discussing the 15th Doctor series season premiere, two episodes. They're dropping two at once: Space Babies and The Devil's Court. So, the first week of the next week, they're going to drop two episodes at once, and you'll be able to watch them both. And we'll talk about them both in our next episode. So, until then, Father Corey Stika, thank you for joining me and sharing The Secrets of Doctor Who.
Thank you, Dom.
And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to The Secrets of Doctor Who on StarQuest. And remember, if you walk in there, what happens to me? Something exciting, most probably. Isn't that the fun of it? Not knowing? The great unknown comes to us all in the end.